and welcome to Here in LA, Highland Park Edition. Today we talk with Angela Gonzalez Torres. Angela was born and raised in Northeast LA, was the president of the Highland Park Neighborhood Council. She's a recent college grad from UCLA, where she wrote on the Daily Bruin, and she is the perfect person to tell us about Highland Park from the perspective of a native. We'll talk about gentrification, Billie Eilish, local politics, and we'll discover I really don't know much about vegan lifestyle or old bowling alleys in Los Angeles. So please welcome Angela. Hey, everybody. I am here in Highland Park with Angela Gonzalez Torres. Hey!
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for having me in your beautiful home.
It's going to get warm in here, but...
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'll take off my shirt.
Please don't. Please. Not today.
Angela, we are... just meeting each other.
Yeah.
I hit you up on Twitter a year ago,
you said? A year ago, dude. Over a year ago, I think.
It's so funny because somebody reached out to me this week and said, I want to be on your show.
Oh.
And then we had like a kind of a phone call.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I think I'm too shy. And I was like, what? I was like, don't worry about it. In a year, you'll be back.
Yeah, right?
Here you are, you're...
Hey, that is so real. I really feel that. And I want to say, because then I think shy girls will feel better after this, but I know there's probably a dozen other people I can think of off the top of my head who could probably speak better, maybe, more on the work in Highland Park that is ongoing and is needed moving forward. But, you know, this is my community. This is where I was born and raised, and so I'm going to do my best.
Here's what I want everyone to know.
Yeah.
Who's considering being on this show.
Yes.
This is not, I don't think anyone can represent their neighborhood.
Dude, we literally just talked like almost an hour. Like you're right. We talked about everything.
Just represent you.
It's true.
Because we're all totally different people.
Yeah.
Which is great. Mm. And the older I get, the more I embrace how different I am.
Yeah.
When you're a kid, you want to fit in. Right? You don't want to stand out.
Yeah.
I was the only black kid in my class. I didn't want that.
Were you really? In Chicago?
Well, the suburbs.
Suburbs, you're right.
And so, but now that I'm older, I'm like, I want to be the guy with the Cubs hat. Because that is who I am.
Yeah.
I'm not a Dodger hat, man.
Yeah.
I am the guy with the weird clothes.
I know, you're mix matching today. I'm
clashing. But God, I feel cool and warm in this beautiful, clean house.
It is pretty clean, huh?
Your place is great.
Dude, and the plants look good.
The plants are fantastic.
Like shouting myself out.
You should.
Working from home is nice because you actually get to keep these things alive.
So I reached out to you a year ago because then you were the neighborhood council president of Highland Park.
Yeah.
And you had some things to say.
Yeah, dude, you hit me up my first month being the president, and I had already opened my big mouth. But I think it was after the protest in front of a business here on Figueroa that I'm protesting their alcohol license, and that's kind of been the work that I'm doing in Highland Park for over a year now, and that's still ongoing. But yeah, I just transitioned out of that role officially as of the first.
First of all, you're a beautiful Latina.
Thank you.
Incredible tattoos, cool style.
Oh, yeah.
Because on Twitter, I didn't know.
I don't even know what you saw. That was a year ago.
I don't think I saw anything.
Oh, it's just like.
Do you even have a profile picture on there?
No.
I think
I was just talking.
Yeah.
Smack. Yeah.
You are of Mexican descent?
Yes. Yeah.
Were your parents born here?
My mom was born here. My dad was born in Mexico. And dude, I mean, that's why I think I even talk to people now and they're like, oh, you know, these immigration laws are just the way that it's been. No, it's not. My dad is not that old. You know, it was so different for him growing up.
It was easy for him to get here.
You just literally said what up, you know,
Show up
to the border, dude, and you cry. I mean, I don't want to speak for my dad, but I know that it was a very different experience for him. Being from Mexico, and then having life here in the United mm-hmm. States, right? So yeah, I identify as a system impacted daughter of a deportee. My dad did spend some time incarcerated, and then unfortunately was deported. And I remember all of that, but I mean, I don't even remember crying at his deportation proceeding because I was like, oh, I'm going to get this fool back, you know? And I didn't even know. He was barred from petitioning for reentry for 10 years.
Can you talk about what he did?
Yeah, you know, it was a domestic violence charge that's very real in our communities of color here. Yeah, and there were some opportunities for my dad to make a different decision. Mm-hmm. And that's my parents' stories. But, like, I think it was just, like, generational trauma. And that had to end with us because I remember being there and just being like, this is the smartest dude I've ever met. Like, still to this day, I haven't met somebody more intelligent, more emotionally intelligent than he is, but that trauma is real, you know?
This is why real people like you are fantastic.
Yeah.
And why you are better than all these. You've got a lot of books on your shelves over here.
It's a couple.
This is why you're better than all these books.
Yeah.
Because in books, domestic violence, immigrant mm-hmm. in jail, mm-hmm. now in Mexico, mm-hmm. is bad from head to toe.
Yeah.
But you're saying the opposite. You're saying this is a smart man who was the victim of stuff that was maybe beyond him that he could handle at the time. And he made some bad choices.
Yeah.
And you still love him.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with him. Yeah. And I am like trying because that is really difficult, you know, to now the responsibility is on me to like make my way down, you know, but I'm so close with both of my parents. Good. I think like everything I do is really for them because, I mean, if you think about it too, like our ancestors sacrificed a lot.
Tons.
And then we watched our parents suffer in whatever way just to get us here. And I think about them every day. Like, I'm like, I'm going to go for this president role. I don't know what language they're speaking. I didn't even know we had a Highland Park Neighborhood Council. I'm going to go for it because of them. And, you know, it was in that role that I really got to explore a lot of my identity because I think I held the mirror up to a lot of other people. It's a very privileged position to be in. Mm-hmm. So many of them are consultants, like, for a job. I'm like, what does it even mean? They're like stay-at-home dads. They're, you know, older white dudes or retired. And so many of them said things to me like, stop saying you're a daughter of a deportee or stop saying you were raised by a single mom. And I was like, why? You don't want to think about them? Like, that was just really interesting to me, you know? So, yeah.
I was raised by a single mom.
Yeah?
Like,
there just two of you? You said you had a sister.
Me and my sister.
Yeah.
And so it's like, this is what life is these days.
Yeah.
And it's been like this for decades.
Yeah.
And so for there to be representation in city government is huge.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, no disrespect to these stay-at-home dad white guys who are consultants. Their life is their life. But they have no idea what your life or my life is about.
Yeah.
And so that's why we need a diversity in government.
That's all I was saying too. Diversity. And also I really ran on this idea of like actual representation and respect, not just performative ones or like disproportionate, you know, representation. And yeah, I would love to like talk about, cause I think when we jump into like that idea, of who's actually on these councils, it's really important to know about like the history of somewhere like Highland Park, you know, which I don't know. What is your impression of
this so place? Not that it matters. You were the guest.
Okay.
But as a black man who came here in 1984.
Word, yeah.
Who lived in Inglewood in 1986. Mm-hmm. I was told, and the reason I lived in Inglewood in part was I wanted to be in a black community for the first time.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was great to be there.
Because you were saying you're the only.
I was in a pearly white suburb that has changed over time, but back then it was all white.
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s, they told us it's black on brown crime.
Yes.
Stay away from Mexicans.
Right.
And for sure, don't go to the east side.
Oh.
And so I was not aware of this area or anything east of downtown.
Crazy.
Until maybe 15 years ago.
You're lying. You've been here 40 years.
I know.
Did I just write?
No. Okay, good. This is my anniversary. It was the summer of 84. Beautiful,
but wow, 15 years ago. Yeah.
But what's so crazy is I've lived off of Sunset for the last 23 years.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is take Sunset East.
Yeah.
It turns into Cesar Chavez. Mm-hmm. And then you end up in Boyle Heights.
Right.
Which I love.
Oh my God. I'm.
And no. Yeah. To answer your question, I love Highland Park. This is such a great place.
Yeah.
When I was at the LA Times, I was overseeing all the blogs. And one of my favorite writers was the real estate blogger, Peter Viles. Mm. And this was in 2009. And I was like, LA is so big.
Yeah.
And you can only write so many pieces in a week. Where do you want to focus on? And he was like, even then, as goes Highland Park, so goes LA.
What?
He was right on the money.
Wow.
Because we've seen gentrification here. Mm. We've seen transportation situations going on here with the Gold Line. Just a lot of things are happening here.
Yeah.
Billie Eilish is one of the biggest stars in the world.
Supposedly from here.
Oh!
I don't want to come for nobody, but what?
You don't claim her as a Highland Parker?
I don't know her.
You haven't run into her at the 99 cent store?
I've actually... Oh, the closed one? You mean
the closed one next to OK Chinese?
Closed forever. It's so sad. Why did they have to add forever? But I actually served his brother or her brother, Phineas, a bunch of times. And pretty sure Billy's been around. But
Where'd you run into Phineas?
I used to work at Kindness and Mischief. I served beer at Coldest Beer in Town. You know, was doing the bit. Yeah.
You worked there?
Yes.
I'm so happy to meet you. Do you prefer Angie or Angela?
Oh, I go by Angie. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I have seen that sign a million times.
Have you been?
I've only seen the inside through TikTok of all things.
Oh, no. Dude, I'm covering a shift today on Tuesday.
That's where you work?
I work at the corner liquor store. Yeah. And
hot.
And coldest beer in town. I mean, just keeping, I told you, keeping my finger on the pulse, dude. I want to know who's who. Around here.
That and is the best sign in all of LA.
It's such an anthropological experience working there. But yeah, that place has been through it. Can we do the history of Highland Park really quickly?
Go ahead.
Because I'm trying this thing where I've read all these damn books, like you mentioned, right? And it's like the word gentrification feels like it's just losing some of that meaning. And I think when I want to talk about it, like I want to try to be as intentional as I can. And I'm going to rush through the history because we just don't have that much time. But
yep.
Highland Park, dude, is, you know, has its earliest documentation probably around like 1600s. Like this place was indigenous land, home to Native American tribes like the Hahamanga, the Quiche tribes. And of course, it's documented throughout the Mexican-American War, if that's what you want to call it. You know, when thousands of acres of land was annexed or stolen from Mexico to become California. And what is now called Highland Parque, you know, used to be called Rancho San Rafael. And Charlie Fisher is a local historian. He has a video on PBS that talks more in depth about the rancho and like the history of Highland Park being like a red light district where they had to trade like water and security for policing. Like it gets kind of crazy. So
this was a hooker place?
I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that, but like
that's... Charlie said this?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, it is the only profession.
Hey, you know what?
But, you do what you gotta do.
But isn't that crazy trading like water for policing? Like that's part of this history here,
wow.
According to Charlie Fisher. But 1895 is uh-huh. when Highland Park becomes part of Los Angeles because of that. And that's around the time, like you were saying, we have the public transit situation. Back then, there was the Pacific Electric Railway that mm-hmm. connected people through here and, of course, laborers to work sites. But when the Arroyo Seco Freeway, which you probably took to get here.
The right, 110?
Yeah. Was constructed, it connected San Gabriel Valley and Pasadena to downtown LA. So people didn't really have to come through here anymore. Mm-hmm. And basically, rent prices dropped around the 1950s is when Mexican immigrants in particular and other communities of color started to make this home. And 1960s, 1970s, it became a really important place for Chicano political and cultural expression, is what all these books are going to tell you. It's like this birthed our murals and, you know, our historical sites. So, of course, 2008 is when we start to see just scum of the earth, you know, investors take advantage of poor people, foreclosures, the housing crisis, and started flipping houses. I don't know this for a fact, but that's why I say I don't know her, because I think that's part of Billie Eilish's family's history is actually flipping homes. Yeah.
Oh.
And I don't know that for a fact. It's just, we should look into that. But okay. People should look into that. But I've heard it from a few people, and like,
which is funny because I did do an article for Los Angelino.
Oh.
Where I read in the comments somewhere, mm-hmm. Highland Park doesn't claim Billie Eilish. So I came down here.
I mean, I just speak for all of Highland Park, but I don't know her.
You don't claim her.
I don't know her.
Right. So I walked around that Jack in the Box and I walked around the park and I talked to young people.
Yeah.
And I said, do you know Billie Eilish? And they were like, of course. Mm-hmm. And also your cool bowling alley.
Oh.
The renovated bowling alley.
Oh, the one that used to be cool. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 Mr. T's?
Is that Mr. T's?
Yeah.
It's like super fancy now.
It's so fancy.
That used to be Mr. T's bowl?
I've never stepped foot in that bowling alley, like to bowl. Like I've tried to go. I know they have like a karaoke room. That wasn't the vibe. I know my friend knew a bartender. That was not the vibe. But you know, it's interesting. That guy just bought the Highland Park Theater. So we're all a little upset at the fact that there's I think it's Cyrus Etemad. Yeah. That's kind of purchased a lot of different historical sites on this Figueroa Boulevard and made it very inaccessible for a lot of us who have lived here forever. What was your point though? You went there?
Oh, so I just walked around talking to young people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the young people are like, yeah, no, don't care about her.
Yeah.
And also, like, if she really loves Highland Park, she'd give to the music department at the high school.
We are
hurting. Where she would have little concerts and help the community.
I know.
And I was like, she's a girl. Leave her alone. Like, I think she's, like, barely, like, 22, 23
maybe
right now.
Must be, like, 20, yeah.
It's like, she still lives in her house with her parents. Her parents live in the living room so that Phineas and Billy can have a recording studio in the house.
Dude.
I was like, that, you're putting a lot of pressure on a little person.
You're right. I don't know anything.
But I did not say that to them. I just wanted to see how Highland Park really felt about her.
Yeah.
And you seemed to be in line with the belief.
You know, there's a couple of songs that will move me to tears. That little kid, just kidding, she's 20. But that person, she literally has a beautiful voice, and I'm sure her mother loves her. But I have a really hard time, dude. I have a really hard time. Things move so quickly around here, and I take it very seriously, even though I think there's no face to this system that is happening to all of us, mm-hmm. that we start pointing fingers at each other and really nitpicking each other, and we start fighting each other versus fighting mm-hmm. for each other. And I'm just like doing what I can, you know, to preserve the last semblance of home for
me. But it also feels like that Highland Park is ground zero for this clash between Latinos and gentrifiers.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring up the history, is because when we talk about it, it's like, well, what is gentrification? It's really rooted in all of these things that this country and the state is founded on, right? Like enslavement, exploitation, genocide, certainly land theft, and we're seeing that now, and mm-hmm. racism. And so I think when people talk about gentrification, it's not as simple as like brown folk or black folk versus white folks, but like, what is that system that enables certain people to decide where they want to call home, even if that means displacing us from ours, you know? And that's mm-hmm. the racist housing policies that treat us very differently. And so, and even that like concept, like a house, you can buy $1 million house, right? But this feels like home to us. It's like the businesses we've known forever, the mm-hmm. the sounds of Highland Park, you know, mm-hmm. and the people, definitely the people.
I also feel, though, that the Latinos, more so than even the blacks, you have this awesome advantage. You love extended families.
Yeah.
You love having your tía over here and your cousins over here and big families. So, like, the Inglewood that I came to in the 80s is changed not because of gentrification, but because of the Latinos having bigger families pushing out the blacks. Now the whites are coming because of that stupid football stadium.
Oh, dang, that thing.
But I feel like you're going to take this country back because you're one of the few 30-year-olds that I know of who don't have kids.
Yeah. Dude, I can't afford it. I'd be down. No, dude, I'm so serious about that too because we can't even fathom that. Like my mom has four kids. She's one of 14. You know what I mean? My dad's one of 11. It's like that is part of that culture that I know is big families. Mm-hmm. And I got all these plants. Like that's all I can afford to keep alive.
Are your friends like this too? The kids that you went to high school with?
None of us have kids. I mean, a lot of people I know are mothers, but it's not like that. But
not
you
big
know,
families anymore.
Not big families. I think like I'm the only one who lives out of my mom's house. Like my sisters all live with my mom. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks to like the multi-generational households for sure. Like across the street, there's maybe five generations in one house. And I'm obsessed with them. And I will defend them forever. Yeah. You know, my neighbors are what I know, you know, as like that Latino family. But none of my closest girlfriends or like homies have kids. Not necessarily, I mean, or more than one kid, you know, at least. But I think about, it's real. And it is funny. But I'm like, this is like new eugenics, you know, the cost of living is so high for us that we can't even think about that, you know, and where would I put them? This is a rent stabilized apartment. I'm never moving out. Like I can't, but it's not a future the future's not always going to look like this. I have hope that this is not going to work for everybody. And we are going to, you're right, take maybe the country, maybe this state, city back.
Let's start with LA.
Yeah, let's start there.
Take LA back. Yeah. I mean, I feel like Latinos aren't you the majority now in LA?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, even like, that's why, can we go back to Highland Park too? Because it's like 70% of our residents identify as being Latino. I mean, I think that's closer. It's rapidly decreasing. I think it's closer to 60%, but like a fourth of us were born outside of the United States. Mm-hmm. A third only speak English somewhat well, what people would call broken English, or learned it as a second language. And, you know, a bunch of renters spend over 50% of their income on rent. Like, and I think, you know, I hear politicians all the time say it's like 30% or 60%. I think it's closer to like 90%, like if we're being real. Mm-hmm. And with that, like people say it's too late for Highland Park, it's over. Dude, we Latinos are still over 50% of our residents here.
Yeah.
And that's what always baffles me is like, we're just going to, you know, give up or.
And it's crazy because if you quote unquote gave up.
Yeah.
Where would you move to? Riverside compared to Highland Park? I mean, this is the goal for most people is to be in a place like this where it's easy to walk, where there's public transportation, you're close to entertainment and sports, like,
and our family, like our lifeline. Like I said, my grandma's still here. My cousin, the youngest member of us, maybe he's like just one. He's going to grow up in a very different community than I did, you know? Yeah. And so, our lifeline is here.
Your council person?
Unices Hernandez, Council District 1. We're split between Council District 14.
Who did she beat? Do you remember?
Gil Cedillo. an incumbent. Dude, I think that was like 30 years he was in office. Like,
you say this with a smile.
I'm so like, oh my gosh. Just to be aware and alive at this moment in our Los Angeles history is really interesting because, yeah, I think we're turning a corner where a lot of people I know and people even in my family, my elders, were like, well, any representation for Latinos is good representation, which is vote Latino down the line, you know? And I'm like, that guy was corrupt.
Yes.
And Jose Huizar, who represented Council District 14, which were split between, you know, and I think about all the things now that I know that Cedillo did. I'm like, why was he getting away with that, you know? And so we know more now. And when Unisys won, I think that was the first time that we felt in this community, because she's from Highland Park, that we would be represented differently. And I'm still looking forward to that because I think it's been a long transitional period where, you know, the Gil Cedillo signs are still up on Fig. Yeah, I'm like, let's just take those down. You know what I mean? Let's just...
Like the Saddam Hussein statues, the Confederate statues.
But, you know, that goes back to his office used to be on Fig. And now it's like Gil Cedillo let the contract for the old bank building was going to be turned into a community space for us. He let that contract expire. They had eminent domain, that building. He let it expire. It's now an Amazon-backed Mendocino Farms and a Jenny's. And across the street, his office, his old office, the building was bought by the one and only, and I really am so glad it's the one and only, Lodge Room. What's his name?
Oh,
Dalton Gerlach. Yeah, he owns the building. Could have shown us he's not what we think he is, you know, trying to evict people who's lived here longer than he's even been alive, and rented it to a small mom and pop, to a normal business. Like, hello, we need a skate shop here. It keeps just saying we used to have Mainline on Fig. He rented it to the one and only Estee Lauder Le Labo, selling an ounce of perfume for $235. Tell me who you are without telling me who you are. You know?
There's a market for that here?
There shouldn't be, but I see people in there. I'm not going to lie.
You know what's crazy is... because I'm an old man. I got to see the riots of Rodney King.
Yes. Was that 95?
92,
okay.
First thing that's gonna get rioted
is Oh
that's what we would say after that riot.
$235.
Anytime people would act crazy or like follow us around a store,
yeah,
I'd be like, don't wanna see it the next riot.
Yeah.
Because those of us who lived through that,
yeah,
saw if it said black owned on the side of a building, which we kind of saw during
Black Lives Matter. All of a sudden, these businesses were
okay.
Latino owned, or you know.
But that's what I'm saying, is if you diss the neighborhood.
Don't.
Watch your back during the next riot.
Don't do it. I know. It's so crazy. You know, and so.
But what, if there is a market for that here, then okay, fine, whatever.
Not fine, whatever. That place is being rented for $10,000 plus a month. What do you think that does to our small mom and pops, you know, next door?
But if there's a business, if they can hit that rent.
He's single hand. No, dude, what they are placeholders. What they are placeholders for something more corporate, something more worse. Yeah. And the owners of Estee Lauder are super Zionists, you know, single-handedly are ensuring that the military there, whatever, are funded. It's wild. If you look at all of these things, none of it surprises me. It all disappoints me. And it's like, yeah, I won't give those businesses my money. And we literally like have to ensure that, yeah, forget all these councils and governmental representatives who I didn't even know who represented me on a city, state, federal level until I joined the neighborhood council, you know, by design. But we need to actually ensure that we're not giving those places our money, and we're looking up who we're giving our money to. And so with that, I think you saw me protest the liquor license for Highly Likely, and it's the same kind of vibe, dude. It's like, well, maybe there's a market, right? that's not really my concern right now. Is like, I was walking around seeing all these notices to sell alcoholic beverages, and I thought, that's kind of a lot. It was before I saw that this was actually a very talked about issue and that there was a foundation for me to build on. Mm-hmm. But I was taking pictures of them. And then I remember going to my first neighborhood council meeting last year, I think January or February 2nd. Mm-hmm. And that guy was there, Carrie Mosier, being like, I'm doing a lot of name dropping this, but like in a good way, right? So people know.
Okay. How are people supposed to know?
I'm like, everybody better take down these names. They are single-handedly taking down our neighborhood. But like, he was there being like, love this neighborhood. I mean, I live in Woodland Hills. I don't send my kids to these schools, but I love this neighborhood. I want to open up a restaurant, you know, here. And the representatives then were like, on the neighborhood council, were like, oh, cool. Dude, there were like 10 to 12 comments, stakeholders other than me being like, yo, we don't need another place like this. Like, what are you going to do to the coffee shops across the street? And also, you're open until 9 p.m. in West Adams. You want to open up till midnight here? Why? And he just like, they ended up getting the support. And so I just didn't sit well with me. And so I remember calling ABC headquarters. I don't know what took over, but like, I just wanted to find out if there was another way. And I remember talking to Margot Hoffman. She was like, there's nothing you can do. These guys own bars on Fig. Like, it is what it is. And I'm like, I don't think that's actually true. Like, is there somebody else I can talk to? She's apparently like the head of this, you know, local ABC headquarters. And she put me in contact with a licensing representative, and they were like, oh, you have 30 days to protest it. And there should be a date on the bottom left corner of this notice. You have a lot of bars in East Hollywood, right? You probably see these notices all the time, because their neighborhood council hit me up saying like, yo, yeah, how do we, I mean, that's a whole long story. But so then I was like, oh, there's no date on there. And they're like, that's weird. There should be a date. And so they had to put a new date on there. I think that these guys were trying. Me personally, my intuition is usually pretty good. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to get away with it, take it down whenever. Because it was after the pandemic. You have to understand, things were just different.
Yeah.
And it was like January 2023. Nobody was really saying we were going back to, quote, normal, but we were. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, how do I protest it? Because the council just handed over the keys, not putting any restrictions on them or anything. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't feel right to me. And I just wanted to see what I could do. And they said, fill out this ABC 510 form. And I did. And they were like, well, we'll investigate and see if there's a reason to protest it. Dude, the census tract, I think it's 1838.10, because of course this is ingrained, burned in my brain forever. I know. It's just, it's been, it's trauma, Trump, really more trauma. But it's like, there are, that census tract is authorized for on sale permits, right? So like, alcohol licenses, serving on premise liquor. Mm-hmm. There's 10, you know, that are active. Four more pending. And I was like, that's crazy. And they were like, well, all of Los Angeles is like this. And I'm like, what? So I filed a protest with ABC headquarters. I called them. I talked to somebody. I think her name was Eileen or something. She was like, oh, yeah, I've never seen anywhere more concentrated in such a fast pace than Highland Park. Because you look at Echo Park and it's ravaged, you know, with mm-hmm. bars. But they were like, it's such a fast pace. Like increase in permits and bars in Highland Park. And so she's like, yeah, I'm gonna approve your protest. It was approved. I'm still waiting for my hearing date till this day, which I think they're gonna try to get away with not giving it to me. But and it's only, I've only found that one other protest went to a hearing, because what you get, what I learned was, you get all the ABC representatives calling you saying, hey, what can we do for you to withdraw your application? Can we do this? Can we do that? And I said, no, dude, I want to go to a hearing. I want to look at the judge and say, look at this. Like, there's four on-site permits authorized. There's 10, four more pending. I want to see what the judge has to say. The owner of the business came to my house, Carrie Mosier, whose family has a history of alleged misconduct. Really? His family was run out of the Bay for, quote, aggressive lawsuits. They own Cafe Gratitude, Gracias Madre.
They do?
They're associated with Sage Vegan Bistro. Yeah, and it's highly...
These are supposed to be nice places.
Right, all the vegan stuff, right? If you look at them, and I do the vegan thing, but I've never really... I remember seeing it. All the vegans got crazy that this guy who came to my house, his mom and dad were running like dairy and slaughter farms, apparently. So they sent like death threats. That never really, even before he opened here, I was like, yeah, I don't really rock with vegans who do that. That's kind of so extreme. And like, just don't give them your money again.
Yeah.
But then when he came to my house, dude, it was like at night. He left a handwritten note, scary ass note, really? Because you can see he was trying to get the pen to work and it's got scratches all over it. And yeah, because I had left like 7 o'clock. So he must have come after that. And it said, hey, like, this is Carrie Mosier. Like, what can I do to get you to withdraw your protest? And I'm like, what in the world is happening? Nobody would do anything. Our city rep, our state rep, couldn't even contact the senator. ABC headquarters was like, well, we didn't give him your address, so we don't know how he got it. Mm. Nobody was doing anything. So I hit up two of my friends, Highland Park Nella and LA Eyes, are local, I would say activists too. And they were like, yo, we got to protest. And I was like, I would literally rather do anything else, dude. I'm already like under so much heat for putting, you know, I know now why people do the anonymous thing, but like,
yeah,
and we protested, and that's probably really what you saw, because I remember you saying, hey, I see you protesting. Can we talk about it? And I was like, I am going through it, dude. I was going through it. Yeah.
This all makes sense now.
Yeah. I do want to say also again, I literally was like, I'm never going to be on a podcast. There's no room for edits. And I listen.
There's room.
I mean, oh, you're right. Okay. But not like, you know, it's my voice. Like, this is like, there's no room to say, oh, they misquoted me. Like, this is me saying this.
Right.
But when you hit me up a year ago, I listened to a few episodes. And even now, before I wrote back, I was like, oh, this guy, this is really what I think podcasts should continue to be, which is the normal, just conversation, normal people, no judgment. I think there's a lot of energy and heightened anxiety right now. And I was like, I listened to the episode of you and Isabel Gerardo, of course, fellow Highland Park native. But the one was Mr. Stepling.
You're the second person this
gentrification
week.
In Echo Park. I was like, this guy's onto something with the one word noun.
How crazy was
names
that?
Names for the businesses. Dude, these books talk about it. Like, because I was thinking about that a long time ago too, where I'm like, I go to Judy Nails, Iris's Salon, and Fiona's Threading. I know who owns it and I know what it is. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now it's like, how language plays into this normalization of what's happening to our neighborhoods and trying to paint it as progress. It's like, you don't just go to Antigua Cafe, you know, you go to Go Get 'em, Tiger. It's like, what is that? And so when I was listening we know what it is. Yeah.
It's a dog whistle for the hipsters.
It's the exclusivity.
You know what? I'm not going to hate on the hipsters.
Because you love this.
I love what?
What is this devil's advocate? Why aren't you going to hate on them?
Because Gen X, we got hated on when we were young.
Oh, okay.
And so
I don't know what that is.
They're just living. They're just young. I mean, you're young too.
Do they know what they're doing?
What are they doing?
You're going to go get 'em, Tiger. But no, like what one of these books talks about though is really the way that and How to Kill a City by P.E. Moskowitz has the best example of in New York. There was this place called the Outpost. You know, it was kind of like insinuating it was like this savior for this neighborhood. And when Civil opened, I was like, oh, you're bringing civility here. Like, and I can't unsee it after
I
read
that.
How
did you feel about Home State?
No.
Is that the TikTok?
Yes. That was like during the Black Lives Matter, all of a sudden they were Latino owned. I was like, you guys have done horrible, more than anything about what they serve. I'm not even going to go there, but like, they've treated their employees really have poorly. Really? And so that's what people say, like, all these gentrifying businesses are bringing jobs here. Okay, are they good jobs?
Right.
Like, I've known people personally who have been really affected by a lot of these businesses that mm-hmm. are supposedly Latino owned or Latino catering, or not mm-hmm. supposedly. And, you know, when my article came out against the alcohol permits with LA Taco, some of these business owners were coming for me. And a lot of them were Latinas, fellow really? Latinas. And one in particular was like, well, what do you know about what the neighborhood's public, or what is it, necessity, public, or the community's needs, like, how do you know what our basic needs are, how do you know if they're being met? And I'm like, dude, there was a whole homeless encampment here on Avenue 59. I talked to them. They missed 1 month's rent, you know, illegally evicted during the pandemic. That place closed now, you know, like, and so anyway, that was the whole thing.
Let's just a ballpark of fig.
Yes.
What percentage are gentrifiers, would you say, at this point?
Oh, my God.
Because I honestly didn't know about this until I talked to Mike Bravo in Venice.
Uh-huh.
Who I loved.
Yeah.
Totally great guy. But I am naive, because I think because I'm older. But also, yeah. I think Latinas and Latinos feel it stronger.
Mm.
And so we've got to learn from you guys.
Well, I think you're asking a good question, because even for me, I rock with some places that I think some of the, I'll say OGs, I'll give them credit, you know, where they'd be like, well, where were you 15 years ago? And I'm like, they're like, we've been fighting gentrification. I'm like, I was a kid,
right.
You know, I was literally a child. And also I was holding it down then too, like as much as I could.
Yeah.
Because my mom, I tell her all the time when I get criticism, she'll be like, they think you're not even from here. You not only grew up here, but you almost like died here. Like, we used to have like shootouts. We used to have like predators, like people trying to, because we were latchkey kids. But like,
yeah.
So I think you're asking a good question, because I think there's waves of gentrification and some places that I might go to or even used to work at, a lot of people consider those gentrifying places. Mm. And I'm like, dang, that's a Filipina immigrant owned business. She grew up in Iraq, you know, but it's like who they're catering to. So I think it's defined differently by a lot of different people. For me, I go back to the history. This land was stolen. There were people prioritizing profit over people. Gentrification to me is the extraction. Mm-hmm. If you're here to extract from our community, you're a gentrifying business.
There you go.
If you're literally trying to immerse yourself and become one with us and try to help us in any way, I rock with you, even if I don't give you money. So I don't know the percentage, dude. I just know I maybe go to like three places.
What are your three places?
I do the Alicia's Bakery almost every day. They have incredible vegan tortas, coffee.
You really are vegan.
Dude, I do the vegan thing. Yeah. For like over 10, 15 years. Yeah.
Does your body feel better?
I feel better. I think it's like I'm very spiritual. And I think energy, when you look it up, scientifically, it's the one thing that can't be destroyed. Like, it can only be transferred or transformed. Oh. So I'm like, dude, until we have like an ethical culture of the way we grow our food or like, you know, breed our animals, like, I don't want to put that in my body.
So wait a second then.
Yeah.
How do you eat tacos? Do you not eat tacos?
There's so many different. Villas Tacos has like a vegan trio. I even just had I think it's called Mexitarian. It's like they were at David Kim's campaign event this weekend.
Mexitarian.
Yeah, it was like a Mediterranean Mexican food. And so they just put cucumbers, like vegetables, salsa, like onion, cilantro. Dude, tortilla is where the taco is for me. You know what I mean? It's not really meat.
The tortillas are corn.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
Yeah.
You just
are you seriously like not you? Are you?
I eat out of the garbage can. I me and the raccoons are like. Yeah. You want that?
No, you're totally, like, you can have it. Do you? Are you? And I'm genuinely curious. I'm not judgmental at all. But do you eat meat every meal?
Yes. Every now
okay,
and
I'm judging a little
every
bit.
Now and then I'll be too lazy.
Yeah, so what?
Well, first of all, I'm black. So chicken almost every
dude,
single day.
Dude, some of my favorite vegan food is soul food. It's like the vegan hot dog place, Earl's, and it's like.
Have you been to Stuff I Eat in Inglewood?
Yes. Oh my God.
Isn't that great?
Yes. Yeah. It's all vegan, right?
Yeah.
You don't even know. See, you just eat.
Well, because I only eat there once in a while. On a hot date. If I'm with a vegan
dude,
girl.
Yeah.
I'll be like, hey, baby.
Yeah.
I'm not so bad. I'm bad.
It's just the, like I just don't understand. Like, I have hardcore meat eating friends where I'm like, this girl and I grew up together. We're best friends. She can't go one meal without eating meat. And I'm like, yo,
I can do it.
Eat, like, take a break.
I can do it. Well, okay. Lately, I've been doing instant mashed potatoes, which my doctor says is bad.
Oh, I was
and some
say
peas.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly fine for me.
Yeah. Dude, I've been doing like a lot of fake meat right now, and I think that's where the problem is.
I love
is.
Fake meat.
Yeah, like they do like the...
Do you like Impossible or Beyond Better?
Yeah. Oh. it depends. Like the chicken nuggets, I like Impossible, but I love the Beyond sausages, the brats.
Yes.
The hot Italian brats. Yo.
They smell a little funny though.
Yeah, but you know, I don't... That's my least strong scent. So I actually always tell people, I was going to tell you too, like if it smells weird in here, sorry, because I'm just I don't have a sense of smell.
Do you talk about who you date?
No.
Then we won't.
Okay.
Well,
no.
I think boys or girls?
Oh, yeah, dude, I'm so boring. I'm so heterosexual. It's really lame.
Really?
Why? Yeah. Look, wait, I love this. Are you surprised?
A little bit.
Because I get hit on by girls now a lot. And
yeah.
I'm like, I don't like this.
You do like
but
it?
But I just like, I guess I like.
We're born how we are.
The vibe I give off. Like,
well, first of all, you're a strong woman with tattoos, with four skateboards by your door.
Dude, I have shorties still. I have mainline. If you know, you know. And I think I have a chocolate board as well. But yeah.
You were always a skater?
It was a form of transportation growing up.
Right.
My mom was like, y'all got to get home somehow.
And bicycles are not a thing?
I don't know how to ride a bike. I rode my first bike in Amsterdam, Denmark. Those people are tall as hell. I was crashing into everybody on their morning commute. I swear. So, no. But I dream about biking. Yeah. But no, I just skate. It's easier.
I don't think there's anything hotter than a girl skating.
Who skateboards?
Yes.
Dude, you know, they were trying to come for a Garvanza skate park. And I was like, I would literally throw down for that park. And I don't really go there. I don't think it's like the liquefaction zone.
Mm.
But, you know, not that these developers really care.
About Kevin DeLeon real quick.
Sure. Yeah.
I think he's on his way out.
I'm glad you think that. Yeah, me too.
Well, because Isabel beat the entire field.
That was wild. Yeah.
His district did not vote for him.
I know.
Which is bizarre because he was such a political superstar for so much of his life.
Yeah.
He ran for mayor. He did all the things except be patient.
Huh.
And so because he tried to skip ahead,
yeah,
I think the Democratic Party turned their back on him, and he was butthurt and was like, "Well, I'm just gonna be my own thing now." And it's like, you're part of a party, man. So like, Gavin Newsom right now didn't step out of line. He let Kamala do her thing. He could have easily made that a fight.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but he knew his place.
Yeah,
and his place is. Be cool, white man.
Yo, you saw him picking up trash? I was like...
That's crazy.
Come on, duh.
he's making a lot of bad moves.
There's so many... Dude, from every level, like, if I can go back to the neighborhood council, too, that was such a privilege to serve as president. We have not had somebody from the neighborhood, a woman of color, person of color, in so long.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw... I saw what I needed to see on that front. You know, and now there's... I'm going to allow myself to say a very Zionist gentrifier man, white man, as president of the council now. And the a threat to me is a threat to my community. And I think that I've seen him act in very dangerous ways.
Mm-hmm.
And people put their votes to him, you know? Yeah. And I said that was shock. That was a shock for me. But I think it's because people are fed up with trying to make things work in an unsupportive level like that. You're right. We don't get any love, and there's so many problems with that we can, that's a whole other day.
Well, part of it's because of journalism, I think.
Mm.
And it's what frustrates me about the Times that I used to work at. It frustrates me with KPCC. Yes. That's right up the street that I'm frustrated with.
Yeah.
Which is now LAist. Yes. LAist would have given these people hell.
Mm.
When LAist was truly LAist.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Really?
LA Weekly's gone. They would have given these people hell.
Yeah.
And so I feel like these people have a free pass now. They can just do what they want to do.
I know.
And yeah. I bring this up because you worked at the Daily Bruin while you were at UCLA.
I did, yeah.
Was that really fun for you?
Dude, I got to write, I'll credit even LA Taco though, because they were my first they were where I published first. And Javier was so patient with me and saying, like, I was like, I want it this way, I want this quote, don't cut this, I want photos in it, please, like, this is like how I want it to be presented, even in the disoriented way that it is. And that's like the main critique about it, is like that it's all over the place. But I'm like, yeah, but that's been this journey of trying to figure out why there's all these damn bars in my neighborhood. It's like nobody knows actually who's in charge. And he let me publish the way that I wanted to, and so that gave me the courage to go write for Daily Bruin and say, I want to write about formerly incarcerated students. I want to write about the undocumented students. I want to write about gentrification. And I wrote about Barrington Plaza, which...
You did?
Yeah, because, dude, our longest serving librarian at UCLA, over 50 years, was at risk of being evicted from her home that she's lived longer than I've even been alive, you know?
That was such a huge win for LA.
I mean, huge. It could have set a very terrible precedent that... Mm-hmm. I mean, I know... people, not only, you know, my senoras here in Highland Park, but like even initial gentrifiers that are being pushed out through the Ellis Act, you mm-hmm. know, and it's like, it could have been like horrible.
It could have spread across all of LA.
And I was looking at the different ways that the city attorney played its part, and you
the
know,
worst.
And in Tracy Park, and I thought,
Officer Tracy,
crazy.
These women were supposed to save us.
What happened? That's why I'm like, dude, don't even ask me how I feel about politicians right now or politics.
Okay, let's switch real quick then.
Yeah.
Your dad.
Yeah.
Where is he now?
He's in Tijuana. He's probably at church. What day? What day is it?
Tuesday? He's at church?
He's such a God-loving man.
What does he do down there?
He works with youth as well. He's a teacher. I work at an empowerment program. So we love trading stories of like working with students. And
okay.
Yeah.
Is it safe for me? Because remember, my black friend told me, don't
go.
Be friends with Mexicans.
Oh,
don't go
gosh.
To Boyle
Dude,
Heights.
Once we get
they
over
were
that.
So wrong.
It's over. Yeah.
So. Now everyone's telling me I shouldn't be going down to TJ. But I used to love doing that in...
Wait, you've been?
Rosarita, Ensenada?
Yes.
I've loved all of those places.
Yes.
But I haven't been in so long.
Look, if you're looking for trouble, you're going to find it anywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're good and you're good to people, like, and you watch your back anywhere.
Yeah.
Dude, I work at a liquor store now throughout this summer. Like, I'm about to go... If you're looking for trouble, you're going to find it. Yes, yeah. Even here in Highland Park where people walk their cats on leashes, you know. But like in Tijuana, you're fine. Just eat your food.
Totally cool.
Do your thing. Respect, you know, people. But I do say like it is really sad to see some of the people maybe not looking for trouble get caught up in stuff. But it happens everywhere.
Do you have the fast pass that you can?
I don't. No, I park and I cross by foot.
And how long does it take you?
Oh, my God. I mean, it depends. I'm not like, I don't go during the, we know now. My dad's been down there for about 10 years. So
you're saying you know when to go.
Yeah, I know when to go.
Which is during the week.
But his wife has a fast pass actually. So I have used it sometimes, but you don't need it.
But it's like $100.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't mind.
I just also love crossing on foot because then you're like eating in the line. You're like buying stuff. You could like do your bit a little longer.
Are churros vegan?
I don't know, but I don't care. I eat them. Dude, I love churros.
Angela, you are a superstar of Highland Park.
So good to talk to you.
You should be the face of Highland Park.
No, I don't claim. I don't know why.
I've already made it.
Oh my gosh. That's too much.
Are you on Instagram or are you on?
I am, yeah.
What's your Instagram?
Well, I'll give it to you after.
Okay.
I'm on
Because I'm going to put it on the blog post.
Oh, sure. Well, it's Bloom Agitate. It's kind of the two parts of my personality, you know, but.
Is there any, do you have any shout outs? Is there anything you want people to support?
I think that, I just think people should continue to ask questions. Council District 1, where we're at here, represented by Unices Hernandez, is the only district not adopted into what's called the Restaurant Beverage Program that makes it easier, faster, cheaper to get an alcohol permit. We're already over-concentrated here in Highland Park, but all over LA. And it's deemed as this program to support small businesses, but it's putting them at risk of displacement. There's many articles out there people can learn about. But we need to make sure Council District 1's not adopted into that program.
I also recommend, because I've only been to two.
Yeah.
Everybody should go to at least one neighborhood council meeting in their neighborhood.
I 100% agree.
Because what you said about liquor licenses is fascinating to me, because I heard them talk about, we shouldn't give it to these people because they're going to sell single beers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the red flag.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways for discrimination to come about. You know, in that process, because that stigma is very real. Like right now, Highland Park Neighborhood Council just voted not to support El Super, their renewal for their alcohol license. Yeah. And but
they want a Whole Foods over there.
Yeah, I know. It's wild. I don't know all the answers, but I've seen
they don't want them to sell beer at a grocery store
because they're like, their hours are too late. Meanwhile, you can drink a whole bottle of wine on the sidewalk at Holcomb across the street. That's not an advertisement, you know, but it's very unfair, you know,
it's racist.
In my opinion. Okay, yeah, I was going to use that word too. I think it's super racist.
Because if Whole Foods wanted to have, because on the west side, you can drink at a Whole Foods.
I know. So that right now I'm working with supporting them. The same thing was with El Buen Sabor, you know, an El Salvadorian restaurant here in Highland Park. They faced a lot of gentrifiers organizing to shut their permit down. And I'm like, these are people just trying to do what everybody else is doing. But, you know, I don't support new permits. I think that
it sounds like you're going to get back into politics.
Oh, gosh.
No.
Well, I think, you know, no, maybe
I think you should.
I'm so tired of it, dude.
You're
I
so
think
good at it.
You know what I want to learn? I want to learn more about like land use on a city level. So I've been talking to like people in City Hall to see like,
would you work with Unisys or Isabel?
Yeah. I mean, I think that
like, would you be on their staff if they said we'll pay you?
Literally, Myra Jimenez of Unisys's Council District 1's office is the one that's informed a lot of my decision to ask questions to. She's encouraged it. She's from here as well. We actually just worked together to put on an alcohol licensing town hall, and it was so freaking cool. Like, I actually give them mad props for that, because it could have gone, you know, it's such a I don't know why it's such a controversial thing. Like, I was actually at a bar this weekend with my girlfriends on York. It's called Block Party. I never go there. And the guy behind the bar was like staring at me and was like, even motioned for somebody else to look at me. And so finally I was like, well, what's the vibe, you know? And I was like, can I just get a beer? And he was like, I'm Jason. I'm the owner. I know who you are. You know, like, I have like other bar owner friends here in Highland Park. We know who you are. You're like protesting permits. And I was like, okay, can I get a beer? I didn't know what to do. I just introduced him to my girlfriends. And that's actually very common. A lot of people think that what I'm doing, which is just trying to say like, hey, like, do we have enough already? Like, they're trying to open the Hermosillo on Monte Vista right across the street from an elementary school. It's like, I don't know that. Like, this is for sure detrimental to the neighborhood, but I feel like I know that. Like, I think that we need normal stuff, you know? And so anyway, so it's the most controversial thing, but CD1's office is really trying, at least Myra Jimenez of their office is really trying to be like, let's listen and make community-informed decisions. Maybe we should call it, you know?
Unices, Isabel, pay this woman.
Stop. Look, I was trying energy to get away from that.
Yes, she's going to get dirty looks when she goes to, you know, bars, but whatever.
Dude, I
can handle it.
And I know why people do anonymous stuff now. I don't know if you're on. I'm going to follow you, too. Like,
people
just
talk shit to me, but who cares?
Right. I mean, I just, this is my face. I put it out there. And yeah,
and my answer would be, then be good. If you don't like seeing my face,
yeah,
it's because you have done something fucked up.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm glad you know who
right.
I am.
Don't forget this face.
We have too many bars.
Angela, God bless you.
Good to talk
Thank
to you.
Thank you for having me in your home.
Yeah, sorry, it's so warm. Thank you.
How great was Angela? You know who we'd have an ice cold beer with? Our Patreons. When you stoke us, you're saying, Tony, thank you for shining a light on all these beautiful people who live in these neighborhoods. You kept saying that that's what this podcast was going to be, and sure enough, that's what you delivered time and again. So here's all the money we were going to give to charity, because, you know, who really knows where all that dough goes? So shout out to our Patreons, Nancy Robelman, Sean Atlow, Matt Mills, Sean Wallace, Greg and Molly, Jamie Taylor, Mark Johnson, Kira Ann, Barney Grinke, Ben Welsh, Jen Adams, Trevor Wilson, Bree Wild, Dougie Gyro, Christina Up North, Robin Carey, Adam Shorn, Ben from Down Under, Chris from the ATX, Gregor, and Phil. To be a Patreon, just go to patreon.com/hereinLA and give until it hurts you. Want to support us, but you bought hella back-to-school clothes just the other day and it was crazy expensive? Same. You can still help. Post your favorite episode on your Facebook. Start with this one. Tweet this link on your Twitter or on your Threads. Put it on your Live Journal. Put it on your Tumblr. Put it in your GoPro. I don't know. But tell your friends. Tell them how Here in LA is spelled. And then it's on Apple Podcasts, which is now actually easier to access than ever before. It's on Google Podcasts, which is dying away. And it's even on YouTube. We're also on Amazon. Here in LA is produced by myself, Tony Pierce. Music supervision by Jordan Katz. Songs by Orgone and Jordan Katz. Special thanks to Cindy for creating the logo, Jen for inspiring this, and beautiful souls like Angela, who do the right thing for their neighborhoods, either politically or otherwise, in order to keep the spirit of the place intact. Thank you, Patriots!